a work day. You understand? Let's go out here and make these plays, man.
This week on Everbank Jaguars Weekend, a dominant win over a division rival. Also, an inside look at how the Jaguars handled the changes surrounding Hurricane Irma. And we sit down with the head coach for a look at the Tennessee Titans. All that and more ahead on Everbank Jaguars Weekend.
This is Everbank Jaguars Weekend. Everbank, it's your money. Make the most of it.
And then when you look around, we all play for one name. What's that name?
Jaguars!
What's that name?
Jaguars!
Here we go, baby! Jaguars on three!
What a scene last week at NRG Stadium in the locker room as the Jags knocked off the Houston Texans in week one. Welcome into Everbank Jaguars Weekend. JP Shattuck with you. A great win last week. Three nights in Houston to avoid the effects of Hurricane Irma, and now it's back home for a little home cooking in week two against the Tennessee Titans. Let's review a crazy week around the Jaguars. We start with last week's game. By dominating both lines of scrimmage, the Jaguars controlled the game from start to finish in week one.
What we're trying to get the team to understand is, hey, we just need to play as one, you know, and we need to make sure that we're communicating well and helping each other out there.
Rookie running back Leonard Fournette pounded the ball for a 100-yard game in his NFL debut. A 10-sack and 4-takeaway performance gives the defense some needed early confidence. Is it a one-off or the beginning of a trend?
You know, anybody can come in here and win a game once. You know, we can go at 1-15, and we don't want to do that. So we want to continue to go, you know, win this quarter, the first four games. We have to win these first four games, and that's our mission, not just one.
We'll find out in week two against the Tennessee Titans after a crazy week of travel and concern for the city of Jacksonville after Hurricane Irma.
It's our first chance to play at home in front of our fans, and it's right after a really bad hurricane. And we know there's a lot of people in Jacksonville struggling and going through some things. So if it's for 4 hours on Sunday, we'd, you know, really enjoy to give them a good time.
We welcome in Brian Sexton and John Osier, and at long last, a wild, strange, different week is coming to an end.
Well, it is, and I think the Jaguars will be fine with this week. It was crazy. You got in Tuesday after the game. But for players, the week starts on Wednesday, Brian. So, it's a big accept. They have to deal with the hurricane after effects and everything in the community. But within the context of this building, it's been, you know, standard practice since Wednesday morning. I don't think it'll be a big issue.
Doug Marrone told me on Monday afternoon that he gave a game ball in the postgame locker room to the logistics staff, and well-deserved. They were seamless in getting back to the hotel, going out to the YMCA on Monday, get a big lift out of it to find a plane and get everyone home on Tuesday and make sure it all rolled. They did a great job. The thing that stuck out to me was it was very businesslike in the locker room. There wasn't a lot of jumping around, especially for a team that hasn't won a lot. And on Sunday night, I'm sure guys went out and had some fun, but you didn't hear any of the stories. And on Monday, everyone was businesslike. So, you know, they've adopted the mentality of their head coach, which is slow and steady. I mean, don't get too high or too low. And my sense is that this won't even be a factor for them.
It's 0 for career on my game balls, by the way, so we can move on.
There's always hope.
It's early in the season, John.
There's 15 more games.
That's right.
Hold on, buddy.
NFL season's a marathon, not a sprint, John. Back to football now. The question, I guess, moving ahead for this Jags team is, was that a one-off showing last week, or is this the start of a trend?
In what sense?
That performance, just the whole outcome.
Well, you're not going to see 10 sacks and 4 takeaways and multiple touchdowns. I mean, they only counted one, right? But Telvin Smith scored. Then 2 plays later, here comes Dante Fowler. And if it wasn't for Tashaun Gibson not cutting back enough, you know, he may score.
And Miles was in the open field, too. I mean, a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, a lot of – you won't see that every week. But in terms of the physical nature of the way this team plays – hey, they were just doing up-downs, you know, this week on the practice field. They're not changing that. So I expect you to see them be a physical team that doesn't beat themselves.
That's how they want to play, and that's probably the maximum performance of how they want to play. 29-7 probably could have been a shutout. I mean, there were 2 penalties that led directly to the only touchdown. It was almost a perfect defensive performance. I don't think you're going to see perfect because you don't get perfect 16 times, but you can take what they did well and still win if it's not perfect. You can still win with defense. You can still win with running game. I think most of the games, if they win 8 or 9, I think 7 of them are going to be close. But this was the formula, and I think you can get parts of that formula every week.
They ran for 155 yards last week. John McClain of the Houston Chronicle said after the game the Texans had 5 players in concussion protocol after that game.
That's not all John said. He was probably pretty
a little upset.
Pretty good on Twitter.
Which is good news for the Jaguars. There's more ahead on EverBank Jaguars Weekend. Jeff Lagerman sits down with head coach Doug Marone for an inside look at the Tennessee Titans defense. Plus, two guys who accounted for 5 sacks last week in Jackson 5. And we'll see what's cooking this week on Game Day Grub. But first, Know Your Jaguars, presented by Fields Auto Group. And this week, we're talking with the guys about which actor would play them in a movie role.
They'll make a movie about my life. I feel like I could be played by a young Will Smith would have been a good Calais Campbell.
Famous actor to play me, I'll probably go with Will Smith, just because I think he's the best actor they have.
Boy, Captain America over here. The best of the best of the best, sir. With honors.
Iris Elba could play me. I like you, you know.
Will Ferrell, just because he's funny, super funny. I think he's one of the best actors in the game right now, so. I pick Will Ferrell.
Help me, Jesus! Help me, Jewish God! Help me, Allah!
Ah! Michael B. Jordan. I'm hoping he'll be able to play me.
It's all about today. There's no tomorrow.
Ooh, I would have to say Denzel.
Denzel Washington.
He's smooth with it, kind of like myself.
He can get things all the way down into detail, and he'll just be great for the role.
Who's your daddy, girl? Who's your daddy?
Uh-huh. Joe Manganiello, he's Sofia Vergara's husband. He's a Pittsburgh guy. I mean, he's pretty bearded. He's pretty ripped just like me. So, you know, I feel like he'd be a perfect fit.
Jaguars Weekend is brought to you in part by EverBank. It's your money. Make the most of it. And GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit GEICO.com to see how much you could save.
Head on a swivel, coach. That's tight ends coach Rod Middleton staying on his toes on the sidelines last week down in Houston. Welcome back to EverBank Jaguars Weekend. The Jags get the Tennessee Titans this week in the division, and their defense is led by an NFL legend. Jeff Lagerman takes a closer look in the film room with head coach Doug Marone, and their conversation is presented by Cadillac.
Well, Doug, this week, the challenge of the Tennessee Titans, and you're really facing a legend among football circles in Dick LeBeau, who's a Hall of Famer. As a player and as a coach, boys, I think it's like 44 consecutive seasons or 58 consecutive seasons in the NFL.
Well, obviously I've gone against him a bunch. I have a great deal of respect for him. We practiced against him when he was in Pittsburgh and I was in Buffalo. And obviously we've had some great battles, and I've pretty much fallen on the short end of those battles. But, you know, he does present a lot of challenges for you from an offensive standpoint.
As a defensive coordinator, he's been known as an innovator. What's the most challenging thing about the way he coaches?
Well, I think for me, in going against him, it's always been the way he's been able to break down protection from a standpoint of when he was at Pittsburgh. You know, continually I'm always watching that. And maybe it's because I first came into this league and, you know, they caught us a couple times when I was in New York. And the other thing I think that's very difficult is, you know, he'll put different packages on the field and trying to identify who they are. You know, there may be 6 DBs on the field at the time. There may be a bunch of pass rushers on the field at the time. And you're trying to figure out who's coming, who's not coming, who's dropping, who's the half the field defender, who's the buzz safety. So I think that's where he does an outstanding job.
Well, and let's take a look at this play. And it's kind of unique in that if I'm an offensive lineman, I'm sitting there going, who's coming and who's coming from where?
Right. I think, you know, at first you're going to look at the coverage. You're going to say, well, you know, is this two-man? Is this, normally, is this two-man? You see the safety coming off the hash up top. So you're looking at the coverage concept first. You know, then you're taking your eyes down to the front and you're saying, okay, who are all these guys? You know, who's actually coming? Where's the pressure coming from? Is it a five-man pressure? Is it four-man pressure? You know, obviously here it's a single high man look. So there's a million things going through a lot of people's mind, you know, and then trying to target and make sure you're right. You know, so again, this is an opportunity of where you're just trying to think for a moment, and wham, the ball snapped, and now all of a sudden they create a big play for defense.
Boy, it's incredible. 58 consecutive seasons in the National Football League. 14 as a player, and he was a great player.
Great player.
Great player. Thanks, Doug.
Great. Thank
Best
you, Jeff.
Best luck this week.
Thank you, Jeff. Let's get into the locker room now with Malik Jackson. He has a special guest this week for Jackson 5.
How you guys doing today? Malik Jackson with the Jackson 5, and today we have a great guest, the AFC Player of the Week, Calais Campbell. How you doing, Calais?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Thank you for helping me get to that award. I appreciate it, man.
Oh, say no more. Thank you for giving me that recognition. Now, we know you just got here. You know, what are some fun things that you like to do in Jacksonville on your free time?
Well, go bowling or just, you know, hang out with you guys, man, and, you know, build that team chemistry.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, we like to hang out together, talk about a lot of things. We understand, I know, you know, this past offseason, you know, you did a great thing by jumping a broom and getting married. You know, how's the married life, man? What you got? How is it? Tell me.
It ain't half bad, man. My wife's treating me good, you know, taking care of me, cooking me good breakfasts and dinners, man. I can get used to this.
Must be nice. I need help finding one. Ladies, if you can, email me. Email the show and please give me some love. I need some help. And now, like we said earlier, you know, you were the AFC Player of the Week. What does that mean to you? And is this the first time you've got that award?
No, I've had it a couple times for defense, a couple times for special teams, blocking kicks, you know. But really, it's a team reward. You know, you have to win the game in order to get it. And then, like, the way our secondary played, the way the pocket was collapsed from, you know, the other guys on the D-line. You know, I mean, it's always nice getting, you know, accolades, but it really is a team award.
Yeah. Now, we talk about this a lot, you know, and you had 4 sacks last game. And every time you did your same celebration, can you show us and tell us where the inspiration for that celebration came about?
Yeah, you know, when I was a kid, so when I first got to the NFL, I was trying to figure out what am I going to do. You know, I want to celebrate. I want to do something cool. What am I going to do? I couldn't think of nothing great. So, and I went back to just my childhood days, and Neil Smith, only played for the Broncos for a couple of years, but when he did, they were, you know, playing really good football, and I was a really big fan, and so he used to do the baseball swing. So just a tribute to the guys that made me love the game.
Okay, that's awesome, man. You know, that's awesome. Great to see when you did it 4 times. It must be nice, you know. Now, this is our first home game, you know, and we just want to know how do you feel about being the first game, and what are you looking forward to? What are you expecting?
Just a lot of energy in the crowd. You know, I really can't wait to go out there and see how the home crowd goes. You know, these guys, you know, that Florida football, they're like very passionate, you know, and I know Duval County is the most passionate, so I'm excited to go out there and try to give them a win.
Now, this is a special question. I didn't have this written down. You know, I throw the card out. You know, it's a great team coming, playing the Florida Gators Duke, the Tennessee Vols. I don't know if you can recognize this. My friend went away. We got our Gator friend here. Who do you have winning the game this weekend, Tennessee or Florida?
I'm definitely going with Tennessee. I saw the way Tennessee played. I saw the way Florida played. And, you know, no offense to all the Florida fans. You know, I mean, I would like to see them do well. But, you know, I think Tennessee got this one.
And that's coming from a man that played football in the ACC. You know there's no good football in the ACC. Thank you for your pick. Thank you from Malik for the Jackson 5 today. We had a great time. Can't wait to see you guys next time.
There's still more to come on EverBank Jaguars Weekend. Up next, we'll see what's cooking this week on Game Day Grub. And we'll find out how the Jaguars handled the challenge in scheduling during Hurricane Irma.
Hard count.
A.J. Boye mic'd up against his former team last week. Quite an entertaining afternoon. Check out the full mic'd up segment each week on Jaguars.com. And welcome back to EverBank Jaguars Weekend. It's time to get into the kitchen for Game Day Grub, presented by Tico People's Gas, Angie Buscelli, and Chef Tony. Well, they're still basking in the glow of the win last week, so we stay with Tex-Mex.
Welcome to Game Day Grub, presented by Tico People's Gas. We're here in a Dream Finders home model in Longfield Preserve, which is a natural gas community. I am partnered here with Chef Tony from Publix, and we are making our ingredients work for us today.
We are. You know, in our last segment, we had a wonderful enchilada stack, but, you know, it just so happened, and we made a little bit extra filling. So we need
happens
to do
in my house.
Well, I mean, my house
makes too much.
Right.
Yes.
So now we're going to figure out what we need to do with that. And to do so, we're going to turn to the pot. Soups are a wonderful thing to transition leftovers into. So if you will grab this bowl of stuff and that's tomatoes, I'll grab our cilantro. We'll cruise back here. And here, I have our pot going with some onions, garlic, dried oregano. Can we go ahead and pour that one in here?
Perfect.
And this has green chilies, flour tortillas, chili powder, and some already cooked chicken. Could be rotisserie chicken. And then we have some tomatoes over there as well. So again, fire-roasted tomatoes. Oh. But as you look in here, that doesn't look like enough to do much for us, does it?
Not in my household.
Look at this right here. This is how much enchilada stuff that we have to work with. I'm going to go ahead and pour this into the pot, too. Oh, get it all in there. So we have corn, black bean, we have fire-roasted tomatoes, but now it looks more like a tortilla stew. Let's make it a soup. We're going to take some chicken stock and pour that in. Now, we like this one here with our natural gas because of the even heating from simmering. We need to let this simmer for about 10 to 15 minutes. Let everything just kind of warm through since it's already cooked, and the tortillas will break down and start to thicken it up for us.
I love this recipe, Chef Tony. I make tortilla soup at our house probably once a week whenever we get cold weather. Mm-hmm. My family's getting tortilla soup, but you have some meat. I love that you used our leftovers. If you don't have that, salsa works really well, right?
Salsa is a great addition to this. You are a little salsa verde. I'm going to put some cilantro in here just to kind of mix that up for us. We'll let that simmer. We'll garnish this with some cheddar cheese, sour cream, and avocado.
Awesome.
That's our soup.
For the chicken tortilla soup recipe and a look at all the Game Day Grub segments, make sure you visit peoplesgas.com/cooking. The Jaguars' schedule last week abruptly changed with Hurricane Irma bearing down on the state of Florida and even into North Florida. That meant the Jaguars had to spend a little extra time in Houston. Brian Sexton takes a closer look at the changes in this Baptist Health feature.
If the Jaguars' trip to Houston was a normal road trip, they would have enjoyed a nice plane ride home for dinner with their families. Their trip to Texas, though, was anything but normal. Hurricane Irma and the aftermath of that incredible storm made sure of that. Instead of rolling to the airport after their 29-7 win over the Texans, they went back to the Marriott Marquis in downtown Houston, which was to be their home for the next few days. It wasn't what they wanted. They wanted to be with their families as they struggled with Irma. But it's what they got, and they dealt with it.
We knew we couldn't do anything about it, and what was going to happen was going to happen. So we just went out and played hard, you know what I mean, and hopefully gave them something to be proud of. And now that we, you know, finished up and made sure everybody was okay and things like that, it's better. But again, you always worry.
The logistics team quickly came up with a plan for a group that's used to routine, used to a set schedule. So instead of meeting at Everbank, they met at the Marriott. And instead of working out at their facility, they invaded the local YMCA. It was a challenge met, an obstacle overcome.
They give us a schedule and we follow it. And, you know, obviously we would like to be home back in Jacksonville right now, but we're flexible. We can adapt to whatever situation they give us.
Calais Campbell and Leonard Fournette were the only guys getting game balls for the effort in Houston.
I'm going to make sure that we give a game ball to the Hamzas and the Op Crew because of all the stuff they do for us. The Hurricane on his game, okay? The guy is awesome. We're going to give him a game ball for this game.
Good teams find a way to win on Sunday, and sometimes Monday and Tuesday. For Jaguars Weekend, I'm Brian Sexton.
Up next, a look ahead to Week 2 and the home opener. Stay with us on Everbank Jaguars Weekend.
If you're going to dive, you got to go up and over. But at the same time, you got to get double time to keep going. I mean, just get a hell of a left speed.
A little goal line advice from Tyrone Wheatley, a former NFL running back with first-round pick this year, Leonard Fournette. Welcome back to Everbank Jaguars Weekend. The Jags flashed that physical run game last week, 155 yards. Is this something they can do over and over and over again?
Well, if you look at Leonard Fournette, the way that he pushed the pile, he was stopped in the backfield once or twice, but not very often. And every time he went forward, he made contact and kept going. I think it is. I think that's who he is. I think he's a special back. I saw it last week. I think this is who they are, and it's the way that they want to play.
Good running backs get an extra yard or two most of the time they carry, and he's that guy.
Push the pile forward. This is the first time the Jaguars have been 1-0 since 2011. They're in first place all alone in the division. And it's the home opener this Sunday. What kind of atmosphere can we expect big picture here this Sunday?
It'll be the first time they've walked into that stadium over 500 since 2010. It's absurdly long, but, you know, I was here in the 90s, and when this crowd and this team are as one, and when the team's playing well and the games are good, this place out here can be a big advantage. I mean, you get the late afternoon in September, it gets a little gray, threatening rain. It's fun to be a part of, and I expect it to happen on Sunday.
John was here in the 90s. I've been here since the 90s, and I remember 06 when they went 2-0 and they beat the Seahawks in opening day, and then it was it's pandemonium on Monday Night Football against the Steelers, and they won 9-0. This place can explode. There's only one player, Mercedes Lewis, who remembers what that was like. They're going to be surprised.
Jags. He's ready.
No doubt. Jags-Titans coming up Sunday, and we'll see you next week on EverBank Jaguars Weekend.